The birth of intersubjectivity, soul murder in psychoanalysis. Cronenberg says the logic of the cinema is the logic of the dream. Artists are like soul doctors. His film deals with probably the most decisive turning point in the history of psychoanalytic theory and clinical practice, a revolution of the still comparatively young psychoanalytic revolution. Cronenberg, again, the discoveries of Freud and Jung are a world-shaking moment that changed how we see ourselves. Yet their healing method, this is Cronenberg, no longer Cronenberg, this is me, their healing method is a most dangerous one indeed, especially when the soul doctor betrays his art to commit soul murder. My presentation has four parts, an introduction followed by Amour Fou, revolutionizing psychoanalysis, concluding with healing. Introduction. Freud and Jung were not alone in making their pivotal discoveries. In 1908, they were being decisively helped by two pioneers who subsequently, thanks to their efforts, Freud and Jung's, almost vanished from the history of psychoanalysis, that Erich Fromm calls Stalinist. Sabina Spielrein and Otto Gross. Spielrein is the first patient Jung treats with Freud's method. Freud refers Gross to Jung, a physician, psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, and anarchist. As lecturer, Gross is the first to introduce psychoanalysis to the university in 1902, at a time when Jung had not even properly read Freud, according to his own memoirs. Spielrein is the film's heroine, whereas Gross is just relegated to a comic relief role, a continuing expression, maybe, of his having been purged from history. Even the year of his death is given wrongly as 1919. Just after he actually died in 1920, he was called, quote, a man known only to very few by name, apart from a handful of psychiatrists who plucked his feathers to adorn their own posteriors, end of quote. This, of course, applies equally to Spielrein. It is unknown whether Spielrein and Freud ever met personally. They may well have been in the building of the Burgholzli at the same time, and they do mention each other in their respective publications. Amour Fou, a relationship based on such huge expectations that it can possibly only end in disappointment and disaster. This not only happens between Jung and Spielrein, but also between Freud and Jung, and Jung and Gross. The men expect from each other healing father, son, or brother relationships. Freud writes to Jung, quote, you are really the only one capable of making an original contribution, except perhaps for Otto Gross, end of quote. As brothers in arms, Jung and Gross defend Freud's psychoanalysis at the Psychiatric Congress 1907 in Amsterdam. Yet at the 1908 First Psychoanalytic Congress in Salzburg, Freud rejects Gross's revolutionary politics. Quote, we are doctors, and doctors we shall remain, end of quote. The first documented mutual analysis takes place between Gross and Jung, who writes to Freud, quote, I have spent all my available time, day and night, on Gross. Whenever I got stuck, he analyzed me. In this way, my own psychic health has benefited. And in Gross, I discovered many aspects of my own nature, so that he often seemed like my twin brother, end of quote. Gross flees over the asylum wall, as we have seen in the film, when he realizes that in an attempted psychological fratricide, Jung plans to declare him an incurable schizophrenic. When Jung hesitates to act on his sexual desires, Gross encourages him, believing that sexual transferences are best dissolved by having sex with the patient. Spielrein in her diary writes, quote, Now Jung arrives beaming with pleasure and tells me with strong emotion about Gross, about the great insight he has just received, about polygamy. He no longer wants to suppress his feeling for me, end of quote. But what she calls tender poetry between her and Jung, the film turns into undocumented sadomasochistic spankings. Unsurprisingly, press commentary, Spank Fest, focused on the scenes of sexual abuse. Shocking, though, that there are colleagues today believing that this helped Spielrein's healing. Caro Tenuto, too, rediscovering Spielrein in the 1970s, writes in defense of Jung, quote, Sabina must have expressed a typical image of the anima, attracting and repelling, wondrous and diabolical, exciting and depressing, end of quote. Habitually, Spielrein refers to by her first name, while nobody ever talks of Sigmund or Carl Gustav. Caro Tenuto empathizes with the victim role of the perpetrator, a reversal not uncommon with abuse. Jung laments later, we've heard that, quote, Gross and Spielrein are bitter experiences. To none of my patients have I extended so much friendship, and from none have I reaped so much sorrow, end of quote. When reviewers speak of the film, quote, exploring pioneering treatment of sexual dysfunction, end of quote, will the public learn that in analysis, sexual dysfunction as a consequence of early abuse is being treated with more abuse? No wonder that one member of the public in responds with, quote, both Jung and Freud were lunatics. Their methods were no more effective at helping ill individuals than expecting a fox guarding a hen house to guarantee the well-being of hens, end of quote. That Spielrein may have achieved a certain degree of healing in spite of the re-abuse suffered does not seem to enter the mind of some analysts, even today. Was Jung's abuse of his patient already as objectionable then as it is today? Both his initial steps to keep his affair from Freud, as well as the later efforts together to prevent the scandal from becoming public, seem sufficient answers. The film does not show that one reason for the emotional entanglements running particularly deep is the fact that all four protagonists have been the victims of sexual abuse during their respective childhoods. The film only mentions this about Spielrein. Lifelong substance addiction of all three men may well be linked to these unhealed traumas. Other attempts to still continuing pains may be to pass on the trauma. Gross, in this context, speaks, quote, of the urge to rape and be raped, end of quote. All three men's lifelong double or multiple marriages can in one aspect also be understood as an external expression of inner splittings. One analyst speaks of Jung's addictive dependence on ever new love affairs, end of quote. Revolutionizing psychoanalysis. Otto Gross wrote in 1913, the psychology of the unconscious is the philosophy of the revolution. The traumatic events that the film portrays constitute the possibly most pivotal turning point in the creation of psychoanalysis. Decisive changes in theory and clinical practice originate here, and the impulses come from Spielrein and Gross. The traditional doctor-patient relationship of a one-person psychology changes to a two-person psychology where the psyche of the analyst is equally being considered. In this discovery of counter-transference, Spielrein's role is a more passive one. But Gross, in his analysis with Jung, goes a step further in using the anarchist principle of mutuality inequality, and changes roles, the intersubjective turning point. Sabina Spielrein publishes over 30 papers. Some historians, and this is a quotation from one of Lisa's books, some historians have seen her as the woman who revealed the function of the anima to Jung. One of her texts is regarded as the basis of Freud's theory of the death instinct. Although this contribution of her, never sufficiently acknowledged by Freud, is generally, if at all, seen as her most important one, it should be noticed that this theory is losing its former importance. Steven Pinker recently writes, quote, "Many people implicitly believe that humans harbor an inner drive towards aggression which must periodically be discharged. Nothing could be further from a contemporary scientific truth," end of quote. If these were Spielrein's only contributions, she might indeed just be merit a footnote in the history of psychoanalysis. But she is also an important co-founder of child analysis. And apart from her personal strength, sufficient to successfully establish a career in the male-dominated profession, Spielrein is also able to free herself enough from her emotional and theoretical dependence on both Jung and Freud to work towards personal and theoretical reconciliation when both become bitter enemies. She corresponds with Jung until 1919. Freud writes to her in 1914, "If you stay with us, then you will be able to recognize the enemy on the other side," end of quote. Spielrein responds, "I love Jung in spite of all his errors, and I would like to guide him back to our side. Neither you, Herr Professor, nor he seem to know that the two of you belong together infinitely more closely than one might believe. Certainly, this pious wish does not constitute a betrayal of our association," end of quote. Today, Spielrein's words have lost nothing of their relevance. Some 100 years later, the Freud-Jung enmity is being continued by generations of analysts, although it seems more from the Freudian than from the Jungian side. Whilst there are hardly any Jungians who do not refer to Freud and Freudian authors, there continue to be hardly any Freudians referring to Jung or Jungians. As this conference takes the place of the annual Andrew Samuels lecture, we may also note that Spielrein's argument contains the seed of an inclusive perspective on a plural psyche, a goal as yet to be realized. While Gross writes that the highest goal of any revolution is to replace the will to power by the will to relating, end of quote, Spielrein seems to be more able to live this. If we are to have a future, not just as therapists within our warring fractions, this is the direction to take. When Gross states that the coming revolution is a revolution for matriarchy, we may understand this today as a call for what traditionally has been linked with the feminine principle, the capacity to relate, to love, empathy, and forgiveness. I'm within my time. Gross is able to formulate this, and that continues to make him relevant for us today. Spielrein's continuing importance lies in the way she seems to have been able to have lived this. Conclusion, healing. Jung's abuse, supported by Freud and Gross, quote, "stands as a wound to us all," wrote the Jungian, the San Francisco Jungian Peter Rutter in 1989. Did Cronenberg succeed as a soul doctor in helping to heal the wounds of the past? I do believe so. Although, especially with hindsight, the past can all too easily become a movie screen for our own limitations without any limitations. Only in fairy tales and Hollywood movies, good and bad are differentiated in a clear-cut way. Only whoever amongst us is without sin may cast the first stone. In 1908, Freud, Jung, Gross, and Spielrein are just learning much of what today we know about ourselves. A German commentator wrote, "Does our gain justify the sacrifices?" We might well reply with no. Carl von Weizsäcker said, "No. If realizations stop our love, we have to give up the realization. If realizations stop our love, we have to give up the realization." End of quote. This is the dilemma the film confronts us with. The writer A.S. Byatt recently wrote of Jung and Gross, "They were angels wrestling, you must understand." End of quote. Might it be most healing for everybody involved in this drama, including ourselves, not just Freud, Jung, Gross, and Spielrein, to consider a similar perspective? Thank you.
Thank you.